אז רב, יש לנו שתי אופציות לקרוא.
So, Rav, we have two options to read the article Love of Friends on page 21 in the writings of Rabash, and also concerning Love of Friends, that article as well.
אוקיי, אז אנחנו נקרא את מאמר.
Let's read the second one.
Okay, so we are reading the article concerning Love of Friends.
בעניין חשיבות החברים הנמצאים בתוך החברה, איך להחשיבם? היינו באיזה צורה של חשיבות כל אחד צריך
concerning love of friends,
concerning the importance of the friends in the society and how to appreciate them.
הוא מסתכל על חברו שהוא במדרגה יותר נמוכה ממנו, אז הוא רוצה ללמד,
meaning with which kind of importance everyone should regard his friend. Common sense dictates that if one regards one's friend as being a lower degree than one's own, he will want to teach him how to behave more virtuously and the qualities he has. Hence, he cannot be his friend. He can take a friend as a student, but not as a friend. And if one sees one's friend as being at a higher degree than his own, and sees that he can acquire good qualities from him, then he can be his Rav, but not his friend. This means that precisely when one sees one's friend as being at an equal degree to one's own, one can accept the other as a friend and bond with him. Because a friend means that both parties are in the same state. This is what common sense dictates. In other words, they both have the same views and thus decide to bond. Then both of them act towards the goal that they both wish to achieve. It's like two like-minded friends who are doing business together to achieve a profit. In that situation, they feel that they have equal powers.
ששניהם יש להם כוחות שווים. מה שאין כן,
but should one of them feel that he is more competent than the other, he will not want to accept him as an equal partner. Instead, they would create a proportional partnership according to the strength and qualities that one has above the other. In that state, the partnership is a 30-30 or 25% partnership, and it cannot be said that they are equal in the business. But with love of friends, when friends bond to create unity among them, it explicitly means that they are equal. This is called unity. For example, if they do business together and say that the profits will not be distributed equally, is this called unity? Clearly, a business of love of friends should be when all the profits and possessions that the love of friends yields will be equally controlled by them. And they should not hide or conceal from one another, but everything will be with love, friendship, truthfulness, and peace. But in the essay, A Speech for the Completion of the Zohar, it is written, the measure of the greatness comes under two conditions. One, to always listen and receive the appreciation of society to the extent of their greatness. And two, the environment should be great, as it is written, in the multitude of people is the king's glory.
To accept the first condition, each student must feel that he is the smallest among all the friends, and then he will be able to receive the appreciation of the greatness from everyone. This is so because the greater one cannot receive from the smaller one, much less be impressed by his words. Only the lower one is impressed by the appreciation of the greater one. And for the second condition, each student must extol each friend's merit as though he were the greatest in the generation. Then the environment will affect him as a great environment should, since quality is more important than quantity. It follows that in the matter of love of friends, they help each other, meaning it is enough for everyone to regard his friend as being of the same degree as his own. But because everyone should learn from his friend, there is the issue of Rav and disciple. For this reason, he should consider the friend as greater than himself. But how can one consider one's friend greater than himself when he can see that his own merits are greater than his friend's? That he is more talented and has better natural qualities? There are two ways to understand this. One, he is going with faith above reason. Once he has chosen him as a friend, he appreciates him above reason. Two, this is more natural, within reason. If he has decided to accept the other as a friend and works on himself to love him, then it is natural with love to see only good things. And even though there are bad things in one's friend, he cannot see them. As it is written, love covers all transgressions. We can see that a person may see faults in his neighbor's children, but not in his own. And when someone mentions some faults in his children, he immediately resists his friend and begins to declare his children's merits. And the question is, what is the truth? After all, there are merits to his children, and hence he is upset when others speak of his children. The thing is this, as I had heard from my father, indeed, each person has advantages and disadvantages, and both the neighbor and the father are saying the truth. But the neighbor does not treat the other's children like a father to his children, since he does not have the same love for the children as the father does. Hence, when he considers the other's children, he sees only the children's faults, since this gives him more pleasure. This is because he can show that he is more virtuous than the other because his own children are better. For this reason, he sees only the other's faults. What he is seeing is true, but he sees only things he enjoys. But the father too sees only the truth, except that he regards only the good things that his children have. He does not see his children's faults, since it gives him no pleasure. Hence, he is saying the truth about what he sees in his children. And because he regards only the things that can please him, he sees only the virtues. It turns out that if one has love of friends, the rule in love is that you want to see the friend's merits and not their faults. Hence, if one sees some fault in one's friend, it is not a sign that his friend is at fault, but that the seer is at fault, meaning that because his love of friends is flawed, he sees faults in his friend. Therefore, now he should not see to his friend's correction, rather he himself needs correction. It follows from all the above that he should not care for the correction of his friend's faults, which he sees in his friend. But he himself needs to correct the flaw he has created in the love of friends. And when he corrects himself, he will see only his friend's merits and not his faults.
Gershon, please, questions.
Gershon, please. He writes at the end that after the correction he will see only the friend's merits and not their faults. And this doesn't coincide with having to work with both lines, that the hatred, the faults I see in the friend stays, yet I cover it with love. So can you explain what Rabash is writing here?
No, I don't understand the question.
I'll read it. Therefore, when he corrects himself, he will see only his friend's merits and not his faults. We learned today that everything that's revealed among the friends, all the faults and hatred, we have to use it and turn with it to the Creator to help us correct and build love above it. We also said that the fault, the hatred, don't become cancelled, but you build a second level. Here he writes that after the correction, only the love remains, and he doesn't see the friend's faults anymore. So can you explain it?
There's no such thing that we don't see behind that a deficiency. We are aware that there are lacks that I reveal because of my ego. And I cover it with my love towards the friend. And to the extent in which I reveal that deficiency, I have love. If there's no deficiency, there'll be no love.
Another question in that regard. When we work on this, we turn to the Creator to help us reveal a relation of love. And here it says that the love has to be revealed, meaning until the love is revealed, it means that the situation has not been corrected.
Yes, of course.
So where's the flaw in turning to the Creator? Now I see a flaw in the friend. I understand that the flaw is in me. I make an effort and ask the Creator to help me. Love the friend and see different things in the friend. Until it's revealed, what does that mean?
So the flaw is in you, since you did not cover the hatred with love.
I try to turn to the Creator. What else can I do?
Yes, and here it depends on how you turn to Him.
What is the right plea to the Creator?
It could be that in your address to Him, you seemingly within, in your feeling, just want to get rid of that feeling, that bad feeling, or from your obligation here, or something like that. But it's not that you're yearning for love, to love the friend upon the hatred. And that's why the Creator's not bringing it to you.
Can you explain again what is the right way to turn to the Creator?
You don't yearn to love Him.
How can I want to love Him? I know I have to come to a state that I want to love Him, that I yearn to love Him, but this is our work.
Meaning you're not longing to love Him. You are not receiving the state as an opportunity to come to love. Yes?
No. Two things. I don't yearn to love Him, that's one, and I do accept the situation as an opportunity to achieve love, so I ask the Creator to help me correct it.
What thing to correct? What do you want to correct?
So I'll have this longing to correct a friend, because it doesn't exist, and the light has to give it to me through the work, no?
Certainly the Creator has to give you a desire to love the friend. Yes, correct. Meaning upon your desire to harm the friend, to give him back that which he evokes in you, you're asking the Creator to bring you, in place of that, love. Or are you yearning for love? So if you don't receive or don't discover those things in you, it's a sign that you didn't ask for it correctly. Not quantitatively and not qualitatively.
So the question is, how do you ask the Creator correctly?
We need to work on that lack. The Creator isn't impressed by you saying something out of your mouth. He takes into consideration your kli. How much you really are sorry that you don't have love. I have nothing to add.
David, please.
Rav,
there are two approaches here in the beginning of the essay. One is that the friends have to be equal, and the other approach is that Rabash writes, as I understand it, to extol the friends and make them greater than I, so I can receive from them. So do you work in both ways, or is there a preferable way? What is the solution? I don't see it in the article.
Towards the Creator, we are all equal. There is no one in a preference towards the other. Because in the whole body, each and every cell, every single small partsuf, just like a great one, are the equal in importance, otherwise there will not be perfection. So what are you asking about that?
In the beginning of the article, he says that there has to be unity among the friends, that they have to be equal. And afterwards, he explains what is written in the book, in the article, The Speech for the Completion of the Zohar, that you have to see the friends as great. So what is the right relation that I have to keep in mind, that I want to achieve connection with the friends, that they are greater than I, or that we are equal?
No, everyone is greater than you. That's how you need. Everyone is greater than me. That's how I need. They're all greater than me. I need everyone. I'm dependent on everyone. And there's no doubt here. I'm only dependent on them.
Thank you, Avin. Thank you for the lesson, too.
Okay. I think... Well...
Continuing David's question, seeing the friends as great, is it actually a means to come to a state where we are equal in love of friends?
That does not erase that. We're simply talking about the fact that I need to arrange my attitude in such a way with the friends, in their way, and through them to the Creator. As the friends are simply a means to arrange the correct attitude towards the Creator, and the friends are a means to receive the address of the Creator and the attitude of the Creator in me, such that through the friends, me and the Creator can talk to one another. And that language I need to learn. Meaning I have no other possibility of coming to a conversing with the Creator unless it's through the group. He understands that language because he has a kli, and how I arrange the kli on my behalf to him, that's how he feels what he wants, what I want from him, and what he needs to do. And also I need to understand his attitude through this kli. And then we will have a language that's called the Ten Sefirot. Okay, I think that we, by this, will conclude our lesson, and you can continue more. I only really, really, really ask not to forget what we talked about in the first half, which is truly for us to have as a foundation to the recognition of evil in us, that the Creator is inviting upon us, and that it's all just in order to define a good and right connection with all our friends, in our case, those who are coming to the convention, to the European convention, so that we will make one step, one big, strong, and meaningful step towards the correction of the shattering, towards the correction of Babylon. All the best to you, and so long.
Now we'll go to the Vilnius group,